Welcome to All the Therapies.
We're two clinicians who try out different therapeutic practices
so you can find the right type of healing for you.
I'm Abby Crum.
I'm Mona E. Shaker.
And if you're enjoying this podcast, please be sure to rate, review, and subscribe.
Thanks for joining us. Let's jump in now. Hello.
Hello. How are you?
I'm good. How you doing?
Good.
Excellent. Well, happy day.
Happy day to you too. Nothing special going on today. It's just a day. No holiday. No.
So what are you curious about this week, Apps?
So I'm curious about, I was deciding between two. I'm in the moment choosing. I think I am more curious in this moment about this show called My Unorthodox Life. So again, reality show, I was like, I don't know if I want to watch this, but I read the description or like someone had written an article about it. And this woman who was in Orthodox Judaism, like the more Hasidic, which is the really serious Orthodox Judaism, left at 43 and became like the CEO of Elite Modeling Group. One of the biggest CEOs in the world. I mean, there's a lot I'm curious about in the show, and I'm Jewish, and I mean, I know was not raised Orthodox, but I think the thing I'm most interested about is actually just like how she was able to like run in circles that to feel comfortable in like at 43, like not having any exposure to this like, you know, world. She's so like, she is a CEO, like she embodies it, right? And so I was just like, is that innate? Like she wasn't exposed to this world. Like when you're in that serious Judaism, you're not allowed to wear fashion. You know, It's all modesty. It's really basic grays and browns, you know? So was it just that repressed element that came out? You know, it does get explained in the show, but I literally, now that we're out of the lockdown, I'm literally going to places in LA and I feel out of place and I live in LA and I'm like, this woman came out at 43 from like Modesty Central and is like, I feel very comfortable at like a Prada runway show. You know what I mean? Like I still would not feel comfortable at a Prada runway show. So I'm really fascinated by this story. So I'm just really curious about what made her personally able to make that transition.
Right. What's that element? And was it there all along?
Like, was she exactly nature like, versus nurture kind of?
Yeah. Right. What was her exposure to fashion? Good for her. I like surrounding myself with that type of content, basically, like specifically like women, in business, like specifically like in their 30s and 40s, like making it. And I think there's so much pressure to like, I mean, you know, it's like 30 under 30 is like the list that everybody looks at. And like, once I hit 30, I'm like, that's it. I can't make it. I lost it. But I like seeing those type of timelines. I think that's really inspiring actually. And it's like, you're never too late. Like we all have that. I really do believe we all have that capacity to like do great things. And it's sometimes it's like, right. It's the fear of failure, but sometimes it's fear of greatness. Like, are you able to like, do you think you could do that? Are you made of that stuff?
Sustain it. Right. So what are you curious about this week?
Well, what I'm curious about, so I started listening to a new podcast. It's a BBC podcast called Stronger Stuff or Made of Stronger Stuff. It's really cool. So it's a podcast where there's two hosts. One's a medical doctor and one's a psychologist. They pick one part of the human body and they talk about the mind-body connection, which is like so interesting and really related to this episode for sure. So they talk about serotonin in one of the episodes. It's so interesting, but they're basically like thinking about depression, right? One of the most common medications to treat depression is an SSRI. It's like a serotonin reuptake inhibitor, something like that. But they were saying serotonin is like, first of all, like only one neurotransmitter. Depression is really like an interaction of like several different neurotransmitters, an interaction between our environment, stress, like sleep, like genetics. It's in this pill just targets one thing, one neurotransmitter. And they were also saying that 90% of this neurotransmitter exists in our gut. So meaning it's not necessarily just a pill that we take, but thinking about like what kind of foods that we put in our bodies. Like
the nutrients we're absorbing and things like that.
So interesting. Yeah. And I mean, now I'm thinking about pharmaceutical companies and like now I'm thinking about, you know, a placebo effect. I mean, anyways, long story short, if you need medications, take it, like do your thing. If it works, that's what matters, right? That's the end of the day. But it's also making me wonder, like, how far are we advancing now in science? Where do we really need to pick one neurotransmitter and focus on it to treat depression that's so complex.
Totally. And just this, like, I think there's going to be a lot coming about this gut, you know, connection. That's coming up for so many areas of life. And so yeah, I think that's going to be like the next frontier is like how much the gut is related to our mental health.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I agree. Awesome. I'm so excited to interview Abby. So you met with a therapist named Jacqueline Nates, trying out this new modality called pain processing therapy.
Yeah. And I don't know if it's new, but it's new to me, you know? Right. Yeah. And we met Jacqueline and she had experienced chronic pain. I'm sure we'll hear a little bit more, but she explained how she came to this work and we were introduced to her and we were kind of thinking, okay, like neither of us really have chronic pain. And so we weren't sure it was going to be a good fit for the podcast. But then I said, well, I have been dealing with infertility. And I think I've mentioned it on the podcast before in previous episodes. So, and I'm pretty comfortable talking about it. It actually took me a while to like even acknowledge really that like, because I have what's called unexplained infertility. I mean, at this point where I am in my journey, I think there's so much value in talking about it because so many women are experiencing it. And so because mine is unexplained, I have wondered if there's other things, you know, is it what we call psychosomatic? Is it something like that I have a mental block or something and it's showing up in my body? Is it something, right? Is it my chronic stress? Everything gets related to chronic stress. It's very frustrating. Like, I'm like, yes, do I probably have stress in my life? Probably. Do I have the most stress? I mean, we were talking, I was talking to someone about this who is also dealing with infertility and like people get pregnant in war-torn countries. So, I mean, like, yes, I'm experiencing stress, but like, it just doesn't feel like that's the full picture. It's kind of like what you talked about with the serotonin. It's like, I'm sure stress is related and I have done work to reduce my stress, but it doesn't feel like totally complete. There's elements of like the medical field really focusing more on issues that relate to men and their fertility versus women. So all that to say, I was open if she was open to talking about fertility, and she was. So it was interesting. And I think with anything in this area, I kind of just go in with a grain of salt because if you've experienced infertility, you've probably tried millions of things and they have various degrees of working. And so at this point in my journey, I just take everything. I use what I feel is useful for me to use and I leave behind what's not. And so that was all to say that I don't have chronic pain in traditional sense, like fibromyalgia or, you know, IBS or something like that. But I have been dealing with obviously an issue with my body that's been long-term.
Yeah. Yeah. And when we had like a little meet and greet with Jacqueline beforehand, just to hear what modality she uses. And she's just so passionate and like, she comes from her own experience. And anyways, I was really excited to like, just think, and because it's helped her so much. And I've heard other folks really like thinking about this model as far as like, again, like this unexplained pain, right? Whenever the medical field is just like, we, you know, shrug, our hands are up. Like, I think it is really interesting to think about other elements that that could go on. So yeah, I mean, and I have, you know, a friend of mine does struggle with chronic pain and like has been trying some of these techniques out on her own. You could just look up any of this stuff like TMS or pain processing therapy. But sometimes even just acknowledging like, oh, is this emotional pain? Like sometimes even thinking about that could reduce the amount of pain. Anyways, so it sounds like we weren't quite sure it was a good fit, but it ended up like, let's go for it.
And it's not that I don't think that this will be effective, but I know for me, like doing one session, it's not gonna, you know, I mean, if it did, we would be, you know, that would be great, you know, but it's like in one session, it's probably not gonna resolve my infertility. And so it's really just to get that experience. If I was someone going in with like an ongoing issue in my body, like what might it be like to go through a session? And so I'm really glad I did it because yeah, like a lot came up and like approaching it in a really different way than I typically do. I mean, usually it is about finding like a direct solution. Like, do I need to get this kind of blood test or do I need to like check my fallopian tubes, right? So it's usually very medicalized. And so I don't get a lot of opportunities to explore what else might be going on.
Totally. Nice. So let's, set the scene. How did she start out? Did she ask you any questions beforehand?
Yeah. So she really got a sense of what I had been experiencing in my body. And so she did get kind of a landscape of kind of what's been going on. And I do actually, the more we talked, I do have a history of kind of random pains. Mm-hmm. I had, you might remember, right, I had this random hip pain before my wedding. And everyone told me that was stress too. And it was there before my wedding and it kind of resolved after and it never got officially diagnosed as anything, but I was limping,
Yeah.
And so, I do think there was a mix of things going on, but so I do believe that I know she'll probably talk more about her experience, but she talked about this TMS, I think it's tension myositis syndrome, which is essentially the accumulated tension in our bodies. And we do know from there's a great book, The Body Keeps the Score. We do know our body holds trauma and somatically, again, just another word for the body, holds things. And so there is a strong possibility that an accumulation of tension or accumulation of something may be at play,
Mm-hmm.
Even stress, right?
Yeah. So did she start by just asking you, what's going on physically? Did she share about, how did she set up the therapy?
She asked me what was going on physically. And then she explained kind of how we go between love and fear. Love is kind of trusting and being open. I think it was that was another way she put it, being open or closed, And so, and it was interesting because we had just already done our episode with Kaylin Diaz, who did a lot of inner child work. Mm-hmm. And at the end of that episode, I had talked about how I had avoided inner child work. And then Jacqueline said, it's probably actually, so it actually started to go into some of the inner child stuff. At mm-hmm. what point have I felt unheard, or where did my lack of trust come from? Because part of what I was talking about is, again, if you've gone through infertility, you kind of become vulnerable because you kind of have to just trust the doctors, even though they might not be giving you answers, or you have to trust people who are not doctors who say they might be able to resolve your infertility. So I have struggled with feeling, I think that's what I started with, is feeling like I don't know who to trust and whose advice to really follow. And so this led to some childhood work around trust. And she suggested I do some inner child journaling. And I kind of chuckled because we had just talked about this as well. Then I talked, I said, I think I have resistance to this. And then she explored the resistance, So it was really about, I think part of the therapy is really taking wherever you notice resistance, because resistance can be just seen as tension, right?
Oh, interesting. Uh-huh.
So resistance is just us being maybe closed to something or wanting, and we see this all the time, and this is pretty common in therapy, but wanting to turn another direction, changing the topic, just not feeling like it, being angry, And so in a way, I think she framed it as I wonder how that's showing up in your body, just the resistance.
Oh, interesting. Right. It's okay. Got it. So So that's sort of, it sounds like that's the framework that she's using,
yes.
Loving, open and maybe not tense, literally.
Exactly.
Well,
I think it's almost the way I envision it in my mind is and this is funny because if you've ever been in physical therapy or have you ever used one of those foam rollers or the tennis ball to kind of yeah. release muscles?
Yeah.
So what you do is you put the foam roller or the tennis ball in the most tender part and just press it. And then somehow that creates a release. So yeah, that just came to me. That's what I think I felt like. It's there's something there. Let's press on that, but not in a hard way. Not in a way, let's see what's in there. Let's just kind of unravel that. Let's just stop there and kind of unravel there for a little bit. And then, okay, we'll just walk along a little. Oh, there's what's stopping you right here. So it's almost just going deeper and deeper into the tension or the resistance. Mm,
how interesting. I almost see it right as a roadmap. And the more that you're expressing something that is tense or closed in some way or resistant in some
yes.
way, that's sort of the areas that she expands on.
Yeah. So like if the starting point for me was trust, which I think it was, like, I think that was, that is where my resistance is. I am very, it's very hard for me to even follow a protocol because there will be something that will make me not trust the practitioner. And so it's like a little hard to just relax into the process sometimes. So I think just following that down further and further into like, why don't I trust authority? And that definitely got into like childhood stuff.
Oh, interesting. Okay. So was that just the majority of the session was?
I think, yeah. If we just kind of like break down the session, it was like, yes, going deeper and deeper. And like every time I would say, I don't know. Or like, she's like, let's go into that. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know if she said it exactly like that, but that's how I felt. It was like, let's just unravel that a little bit. What's happening right here. So it's very much like, and I think this is a good tenet of any therapy is being where the client is at. So just following and where I'm stuck, let's just like hang out there and see what's going on in this place, you know? So like, it's a classic thing. Like you might ask a client something and they say, I don't know. You know, our tendency in polite society is to say, okay, like, no problem. Like, you know, let me know if you know at some point or whatever. We just say, okay, you don't know. But to kind of just stay with that not knowing. Okay, well, we can just like hang out here, right? You know, and like see what else is here. I wonder why you might not know. So I think it's just like not pushing in those places, but also not like turning around and going back.
Mm-hmm. You know, what's interesting is, you know, this modality, pain processing therapy, it's very like the somatic umbrella, it's very much about the body. But I think it's interesting reflecting that a lot of the work was just exploration. It was more like a mental work. Was there anything, was your body brought in at all at any point?
Not really, because I think it's hard to locate. I imagine it might be, and maybe we'll check in on that when we interview Jacqueline, but I can't remember if we did any kind of like mindfulness or grounding it's not coming to me, but it certainly wasn't enough that like it was a big part of the session. So really we started to just talk about doing the inner child work. And like, so if I were to have an assignment to kind of continue with, it would be like kind of journaling. And it seemed like there was a particular protocol for journaling, like really communicating with my inner child directly through journaling. You know, not like about, you know, it's like really having a conversation.
Got it.
So it seems like if we would be ongoing, like that would be a lot of the work.
It would be the inner child work and journaling is a big part of it. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. Okay. Nice. And was that like a recommendation, like a takeaway?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Have you done it?
It's a great question. My resistance is still active. I mean, I guess I'll mention it. I mean, I'm in a support group for infertility. Mm-hmm. And there was also a journaling assignment, which I did not complete. And I'm kind of like a homework queen. Like I kind of like, you give me homework, a worksheet, like it's done. But there's something about journaling in particular. And I don't know if it's like, what I tell myself is that like, it's like, I always start journals and then lose them. I hate this like starting and not finishing. I forget. So if you give me one sheet of paper, I'll complete it and like turn it in promptly. But like, if it's this ongoing process, there's something that's very hard for me to start about that. The reason I brought that up is this is not the only place that journaling has come up. Mm-hmm. And like, it's still not typical for me to have this much resistance. So this may be an ongoing theme in that, like, if I just keep getting like journaling recommendations and it's like, okay, finally, I just need to do it. I mean, I'm probably at the point where I just need to, like, I think there's a part of me that is curious, like if this is like part of my infertility at this point. I've gotten the suggestions so many times and I'm a verbal processor. I mean, right. I think that's also it. Like it's relieving for me to verbally process, and there's something that feels a bit frustrating in writing. I mean, really just the logistics, the writing, like my hand hurts, I run out of paper and I don't want to get new. It's just like, it seems really silly, but like these things for me are actually really big blocks.
Yeah. It's so interesting. Yeah. I relate to that in such a strong way because when people say like, oh yeah, I keep journals, like that's something that I really admire and I really think it's cool. But there is something sort of like a perfectionistic thing about it too, of like,
yeah.
it's so permanent because it's like pen to paper. And if I scribble it out, I'm just like, my OCD like alarm goes off of like, I have to rip up the whole page and now start over. So like, there's something about like, it's like practicing being imperfect kind of a thing, or like kind of sitting there with like your scribble and your pen and paper.
Yeah. Like, I think I was just telling you this, that like every so often, like a Facebook post from like 9 years ago will come up and I'm just like, why did I write that? Like, like what brain did that come from? And it's just like, so I do think there's something about just even having, and you know, when you write something down, like this bothers me, when you write something down that you think is super insightful, and then like 10 years later, it's like, that was really, you know, ridiculous. It's like, I hate having that like evidence of that. And I do think that's perfectionism. It's interesting because, I mean, I think that's like, it's because we're doing a podcast and we might like in 10 years, like we might listen back to this and, no, it will be excellent in 10 years, like guaranteed. But I think that there's something to that too. I don't want to like, even when I wrote papers in like high school and college, I did not reread them. And I don't know how I got by with like, I was just okay with like an A minus B plus. Like I was like, this will not be an A plus because I will not reread it, but I'll just take whatever I get. But I was lucky enough to be someone who could write it, not reread it, and still get like a decent grade.
How interesting. It'd be interesting to take all that whole concept and put it into fertility. And I wonder if there's any parallels there. And, you know, it's my brain's not working in the capacity where I could even do that type of mental gymnastics.
Yes.
But I feel like there is something there, right? Of just like, I don't even want to look back at it. Mm. There's like the messy parts of the existing.
It's true in the sense of like, I think that's what come up with the inner child stuff too. You know, like obviously like there's a connection with inner child, reparenting, becoming a parent.
Oh, yes. Yeah.
So I'm sure there is a connection. And then there's the sunk cost fallacy. Like, do you know the sunk cost fallacy? Which is that once you've invested for so long into something, like you want it to pay off. So if like I've invested this much into my fertility and it turns out I just needed to journal and like I've been resisting it for like years and like it's just like you just had to journal, like there's almost like I don't want to find out. Like all I needed to do is journal, and then but like of course it's also like, okay, at this point if you're just literally this would actually help you. And so it's just it's if you've ever been through it, it's so tough because you get your hopes up so many times that things will work. So if it's like, is it journaling, you know what I mean? Like I don't know, there's a part of me, I think that's part of the resistance too.
Totally. Yeah, exactly. Like being disappointed over and over again. Like, why would you want to put your hopes back up? Totally. I feel that. Well, thanks for sharing, by the way, about infertility as well, because I don't hear anybody really talk about it. Mm-hmm. So I appreciate you talking openly about it. And yeah, anything else? Any takeaways? Did you have any after effects?
I think it was just interesting. And that's why I'm loving already in this so early in this process of our podcast that I'm seeing things ripple out. Like I'll notice this, you know, you probably, if you've ever had a therapy session, you know, you might talk about something. It's like, whoa, then I just got that. Like somebody else said that to me the very next week or whatever. And I feel like that's happening where like once Jacqueline and I talked about journaling and infertility and what might be like emotionally blocking and this idea of trust, those messages kept coming up in other places. So it definitely seems like it's related. And I would be interested in like, if I did a more like longer time in this, it does make me think like a lot would probably come up and like be potentially be resolved. So I think if I was dealing with chronic pain, I absolutely would want to try something like this, you know?
Totally. Yeah. It's really interesting work. And I'm excited for you all who are listening today for the interview that will be next episode with Jacqueline. She's just like a really interesting person. I love her perspective. And yeah. I mean, just like how you sharing your infertility, she shares about her experience with chronic pain. I think she even had back surgery. Like she got to that, like that point, right? With her pain treatment. So anyways, I'm really excited for that episode and really nice talking to you, Abs. Thanks for sharing. I'm also looking forward to our interview with Jacqueline next.
Yes, I will see you there.
Awesome. All right. Bye.
Bye. Thanks again for joining us.
Check out our show notes to learn more about this episode and to find all the ways to follow us.
And remember, if you're curious, try it.